Welcome to the next hour of 580 CFRA's Experts on Call, an informative 60 minutes with some of the key people behind our local economy. Here's your host, Dave Watts.
And a good afternoon to you. Experts on Call on News Talk 580 CFRA, of course. In this hour, we're going to get into some better air. We're going to find out why quality air is crucial in our home and business these days. And this hour, we're going to be talking to the air quality guy. Just heard about him a couple of seconds ago on a message, and he's the owner and president of the Indoor Air Quality of Ottawa, Indoor Air Quality Ottawa. He's also an accredited indoor air quality investigator, an indoor environmentalist, and an HVAC designer. He's the air quality guy himself, and we welcome back to CFRA Sean Rankin. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Dave, and thanks for having me.
Nice to have you back again. Wow, it's been a few months. We've certainly caught up with you lots lately on the radio, lots of information, and air quality is so important. And I guess right off the top, we should probably talk about your personal background, how you became interested in the quality of the air we breathe.
Well, thanks, Dave. I was originally started building homes, and we had a lot of customers with environmental sensitivities. And I started building homes with those sensitivities in mind, using low VOC products,
right,
and better ventilation systems in the home. Ultimately, CMHC had a recognition award program, and we won that, fortunately, which gave us a lot of headway into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
We then began getting calls, referrals from CMHC, and I ultimately took their CMHC Indoor Air Quality Investigator course. Upon completion of that course, we started finding that we were having more people call about air quality than wanting a home built.
Oh.
Ultimately, that led to more education, returns to university, additional courses, and we put out a shingle for air quality about 20 years ago, and we've been doing that ever since.
It seems to me that air quality, I mean, years ago, we didn't really give it an awful lot of thought, but so much has happened in industry, in the construction business. Generally, pollution, environmental concerns and issues. Air quality is becoming so top of mind these days.
Well, that's right, Dave. Residential air quality certainly started creating a shockwave in the industry when we started worrying about heat. We started developing better windows, better doors, tighter furnaces. Well, with that, we were no longer passively ventilating our homes, in which case, chemicals that we introduced into the home or biological contaminants that grew in the home started to bother us because we weren't getting that passive exchange with leaks and cracks from Mother Nature.
Very interesting. Now, you yourself are involved in seminars. You've been doing a lot of consulting from a seminar standpoint to what, to individuals, to groups, and to businesses,
We do anywhere from 1 to 7 day indoor air quality awareness courses. This healthy home, this healthy condo. Organizations can take our courses, our PowerPoint presentations. I've taught in the government of Nunavut. I've taught in Western Canada for military bases. And we develop these courses for IAQ awareness, everything mm-hmm. from the attic to the basement and commercial to residential.
Wow.
There's a lot to know. And most of it is common sense. Once people listen to our presentations, they understand how to make their own environment healthier.
Now, the air quality guy, just for the listener, that's a great handle that you have. It should almost be in italics as your middle name because, Sean, you've certainly established yourself in this community anyway as the go-to person and the go-to company, Indoor Air Quality Ottawa. The company itself, though, how did it come about?
Well, it's funny you say that. The Air Quality Guy company came about because I would be the gentleman walking through any given office space and somebody would look over and say, "Who's that guy?" And you'd hear in the background, "Oh, that's the air quality guy that we've had in to solve problem X, Y, or Z." Ultimately, I created a website for that air quality guy because it's easy to remember.
Okay.
So if you have a problem at home or if you have a call, please look up airqualityguy.ca and you'll
okay.
get us.
Perfect. Now, you also have, of course, the Indoor Air Quality Ottawa website, which is IAQO.ca. That in itself is a wealth of information.
There's some articles that I've written for HealthWise magazine. There is some excerpts from different PowerPoint presentations that are very graphic with either mm-hmm. pictures or cartoons mm-hmm. that explain air quality conditions. So take a look at that website and you'll have information on blogs, YouTube videos on how to recognize air quality problems in your own home.
Now, air quality issues really begin with something we were talking about just before we came on the air. something as basic as vacuum cleaners, for example. You know, some vacuum cleaners perhaps say they're HEPA. Some maybe are, some maybe aren't. There are probably different types and models. Everything should be taken into consideration when you're talking air quality.
So basically, everything air quality breaks down into two different groups, biological and chemical. Biological are things that grow in our homes or our offices that we did not invite. They may be the marriage between moisture and organic material creating mold. Okay. There may be some fungal slime. There may be legionnaires in our water supply in our large buildings that are growing in the air handling units. Chemical, on the other hand, is something that we've directly contributed to in our own home. That is to say, we went to the store and we purchased some chemicals and we're using those chemicals liberally on the floor or on the wall or painting. And these chemicals are releasing volatile organic compounds, and there may be somebody in that home that is environmentally sensitive to that compound. So air quality happens, and the best point of air quality is everything can be repaired. You can improve your air quality easily once you have identified the source of the cause, identified the condition that's bothering you, then there's many different steps to alleviating that condition.
Really? So I guess if listeners have concerns about the air quality in their home, we're going to talk about odors and all kinds of other things over the course of the hour, but what can they do right off the bat? And I guess it's basically call your office and explain their problem.
Well, quite often people will call the office with something. If it's catastrophic or happening right now, leave the premises. If you feel unwell, that's your flight response telling you something's not right, I have to address it. If you're able to tolerate it and you're having a headache, dilute. Open a window. Dilution is the solution. If you have burning toast in your home, the first thing you do is take out that toast and get rid of it from your environment. Then you'll turn on a fan or open a window. Dilution is the solution for short gain. The real trick, however, is an air quality, persistent air quality problem. Why did it happen? And this is, it's not just identifying that source. I have something growing downstairs. There's black staining on the wall. The real question is, why is it happening?
And how do I prevent it from returning?
Exactly.
Or coming back? 521-TALK, 521-8255 is our telephone number here in the Ottawa area. 613, of course, 521-8255. Eric will set you up. He's in the control room this afternoon. And when you do call in, you can ask your question. You can pose your question to Sean Rankin. And we'll get to your answer along the way this afternoon. Get you on the air and we'll talk about it. Going to take a quick break on Experts on Call on 580 CFRA. I'm Dave Watts with our guest, Sean Rankin, the air quality guy. We'll be right back.
580 CFRA's Experts on Call returns in a moment. We now return to Experts on Call on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
And I'm Dave Watts with our guest, Sean Rankin. He's the air quality guy. You've heard him on the radio over the past little while. And Sean, it's always great to see you and chat with you and have you in the studio with us once again. And it's a perfect opportunity to get on the phone. Give us a call at 521-TALK, 521-8255, and we'll get to your call. We have Jean standing by. We'll get to you in just a sec, Jean. But I want to ask you, Sean, about VOCs, volatile organic compounds. I remember reading years ago that the more VOCs in a paint, the better it's going to stick to a wall.
Well, they used to advertise that lead was good in paints. And what we found now that these homes are tighter is that paint smoke, that paint odor, it stays around the home for quite a few days. And some people have developed environmental sensitivities because the odor isn't wafting away with drafts from the home. Low VOC paints are very common now. The industry is changing to reflect the times. And what they are, you can, in fact, purchase milk-made-based paint. That is the ultimate low VOC paint.
Okay.
But VOCs, the volatile organic compounds, tend to build. Less is more. So if you have new carpet or varnish, we get quite a few calls of people who've just recently varnished their floors. If you paint a wall, that's a large surface area, the entire surface area of your home. And when that paint slowly off-gases, it does affect people. Recommendations are simply dilute, keep that window open, high air changes per hour, and purchase a product that's labeled as a low VO product before you install it.
And perhaps look for some kind of an environmental designation?
There's green triangles now for low VOC paints right on the back. Read the label. Get the material data safety sheet.
Yeah, the EcoLogo program has a number of them as well. You can see that. That's the old – the EcoLogo is – prominent on many things these days. All right, let's go to the telephone, Sean. We have all kinds of calls coming in at 521-TALK at 521-8255. We say good afternoon to Jean in Ottawa. Hi, Jean. How are you?
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Hello. How can we help you today?
I just wanted to ask, because I have some mold accumulated in my windows, so I want to know if I can clean it and how can I clean it.
That's a very common problem. What typically happens is the moisture on your window develops two ways. Number one, it can develop through condensation. Have you ever noticed you having condensation on any of your windows in cooler temperatures?
Yeah, it's an old window.
Okay, so typically you have two problems with the window. One, the window is old and it's cooler faster. Or two, you have high relative humidity in your home. Picture your window as being a beer can. If you take a beer can in your backyard in June, you'll have a cold beer can and quickly develop condensation on it. However, if you take that beer can and you warm it up, God forbid, you wouldn't have any condensation on it. So the window may be a poor window that's cooler, so you condense relative humidity on it sooner, or you may have a high relative humidity in your home. This could be caused by basement leakage, vapor pressure, maybe no ventilation in the home. But cleaning the skin cells, and that's typically the organics that collect on windows, dust, mite, fecal matter, and skin cells, you can simply use a mild soap solution and wash that window. But what you might want to consider is taking a closer look at wall assemblies, because if your window is condensing, you may have some hidden condensation inside wall assemblies as well.
Okay. And for when I do it, do I have to do a breathing mask or something?
No, if you mist your window with some mild solution or some green window cleaner, if you're misting it first, just a towel will clean it fine.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks
okay.
for calling.
Okay,
John.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. 521-TALK, 521-8255 is our telephone number to speak with Sean Rankin. He's the air quality guy. Everybody has issues with air quality, good, bad, or indifferent, because everybody breathes. And your home may be susceptible to some issues. Perhaps you want to talk about it. Love to hear from you at 521-TALK, 521-8255. Let's go back to the telephone. We say good afternoon to Ogun. Did I get that correct, Ogun?
Yes, that's correct.
How can we help you today? You have a question on asbestos, I believe.
Yeah, I'm just about to purchase a house, which is next door to my house. And then the house is built in mid-1950s, I guess. So I just would like to know, how am I going to understand if the asbestos is used in the house? And then, because I heard that it is usually used in the insulation, which is behind the drywall. But is there any particular places that I should look closely to be understand, the asbestos is used in the building?
That's a very, very good question. Asbestos-containing material was used in Canada up until 1985. You will find asbestos-containing material in stipple or popcorn ceilings, 7-inch by 7-inch floor tiles. You will find it in mud joint compound, and you will find it in vermiculite insulation, typically in your attic. You will also find it surrounding pipe wrap, that is to say if you have hydronic or plumbing with air cell insulation, or you will also find it around duct supply warm air ducts. Once again, however, having insulation that is asbestos-containing or having asbestos-containing material anywhere in your home does not pose a problem unless you have a design to renovate, cut into, take a friable or a non-friable asbestos, drill it, cut it, crush it, and aerosolize that particulate. Typically, most Canadians have always grown up with homes, if you're an adult, that contained asbestos. And it does not create a problem unless you agitate it for some type of renovation project.
So in other words, it gets into the air as a dust and then we breathe?
Only,
and that's what it causes.
Yes,
problem.
Only if you have done something with a serrated blade, or unless, of course, you've crawled through your attic space, which I typically would not recommend unless you've sampled it. Now, attic insulation is known as zonolite, and it came from the Libby mine in Montana, and it was mined up until the 1980s. Once again, Canada stopped using asbestos-containing material in 1985. If you have an opportunity to take a look at the Ontario Regulation 278/05, you will see a complete list of materials that were banned from containing asbestos during that period. 278/05, Ministry of Labor.
Yeah, I have also another question, which I was in the basement the other day, and then I have seen some water residues right under the drywall. And then, the inspector was there. He told me that, yes, there was a water leak one time, but it is dry right now. But the other thing is, I mean, how am I going to know if there is any mold there? I mean,
that's a great.
If there is a mold, is it from the? Am I going to understand from the odor smell or?
Is there an odor in the home? Do you have a musty organic odor in the home?
Well, there is a bit smell, but it is something like it is mixed with the paint smell. So that's why I cannot barely understand if it is because of the.
So
humidity is because of the paint, it is mixed smell.
Well, what you would begin by is taking a step outside the home. If you step outside the home, your olfactory senses will become clear. If you immediately enter the home and walk to the basement, that's where you'll find your musty organic odors their strongest. It'll dissipate over a very short period of time. But once you're in that basement, start going to the corners. Corners are typically where weeping systems fail because when that moisture in the weeping tile has to turn a corner, it slows down, just like you do when you're in your car. And any organic material that has found its way into that weeping tile tends to plug the corners first. Now, take a look in those corners. Pull back some furnishings. If there's carpet, lift up that carpet. Have a smell. What do you see? If there's any visible staining in that area whatsoever, and typically drywall will show a brown or black stain where it absorbs the moisture and it rises up that wall assembly, then you might be concerned about having an amplification of a fungal ecology within that wall assembly itself. So now you would have to start looking. Do I have an eaves trough discharging moisture? Do I have a crack in my foundation wall assembly outside? What seems to be causing this visible staining on the inside of my wall? Did I have furnishings right up against? Was I turning my heat ducts off where I created condensation behind that large bookcase? So you have to start doing your own investigation. Ultimately, then, you would want to measure for moisture. How much moisture is in that wall assembly? Canadian Tire sells a $55 pin-type moisture meter. When you stab that moisture meter into that drywall, if that moisture meter goes above 14% moisture content, then you know you have enough moisture in that wall assembly to develop mold. Then you would have to start doing a visual inspection to determine how much and how far that moisture has migrated from that area.
So am I supposed to take the drywall out and see the studs behind if there is any mold built up on those studs?
That's a judgment call, because if you have moisture staining on the outside of the wall, it's a pretty good guess that it came from the outside of the construction assembly and migrated through that foundation. And if it's manifesting itself into a stain on the inside of the drywall, and you can't localize a source from a dripping tap or something that's contributed to that, then it's very likely that moisture has migrated from the outside in, and you do have a moisture problem.
All right, Ogun, did we answer your question?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Perfect. If you have any further questions, I guess the best thing to do, Sean, would be to have them call your office.
Yeah, call me certainly at the office. Go to the website, send us an inquiry. Take a picture. Take a picture of your problem. Email it to my website and I'll respond.
Perfect. And we got Ron and Metcalf standing by. Next, we'll get to you on the phone in just a sec, Ron, on 580 CFRA. News Talk 580 CFRA's Experts on Call. The indoor air quality guy is our guest this hour, Sean Rankin. We'll be right back.
Now, back to 580 CFRA's Experts on Call. Here's Dave Watts.
And Sean Rankin is our guest this hour on Experts on Call on News Talk 580 CFRA. And we're talking about indoor air quality. He's from Indoor Air Quality Ottawa. You know him as the air quality guy. What a great handle that is, Sean.
Thanks,
you must get that all the time when you're out and about.
Well, we get a lot of chuckles from that, exactly.
Guess so. In the last segment, we were chatting a little bit with our caller about asbestos, some of the issues and some of the things to keep in mind. I didn't realize that asbestos is, in some cases, an ingredient of a stipple ceiling.
is typically used very often as a stipple binder.
Okay.
And it does have some inherent fire code, fire retardant properties. But the problem with stipple, when you're thinking asbestos, the problem with stipple is it becomes easily friable. So once again, asbestos-containing material can be in my floor tile, in my ceiling tile, in my wall mud joint compound, and it's there to stay. The only way it's coming out is if I hammer it out and I use a drill or I use a serrated edge and I cut it. Mm. So it's perfectly fine to stay there. Stipple sealing, on the other hand, is something that people feel they can scrape off once it becomes damaged. And if you're scraping off stipple sealing, you're taking a friable, something that I can crush and break up in my hands, and if I can crush it up and break it in my hand, now it's aerosolized. So asbestos is only a problem if you aerosolize it.
Okay.
So if you have stipple sealing, you first test for it, and if you are planning on removing it or repairing it, then there's certain protocols you would have to follow to follow the 27805 Act.
Now, that would be the same with the floor tiles. If you're breaking up floor tiles and some of them break into pieces.
Now, if they're breaking into pieces, that's fine. You're not cutting them or sanding them or agitating them.
Okay.
You can do that as a type 2, or you can have a company come in and do that. Sometimes it's easier just to leave those floor tiles on the ground and encapsulate them. There's new floating floor systems that you can put right over top those floor tiles and then add something else on top and be perfectly safe.
Perfect. 521-TALK, 521-8255 to speak with Sean Rankin to ask your question, perhaps in depth as you like. It's your call. The air quality guy, that's him and he's here. And we'd love to talk to you this afternoon. If you're calling from away, perhaps listening online at CFRA.com, you can give us a call at 1-800-580-2372. Now, Ron and Metcalf, you've been waiting a long time. Good afternoon, and thanks for holding.
Well, it's fine. I have a concern that's been concerning me for a long time. And the question I have for Sean, our house was built in the 40s, I think 42, somewhere around there. And it's double-sheathed inside and out with 1x6 tongue and groove lumber. I guess they had lots of lumber in those days. But anyway, in the middle of that is some form of insulation in a kind of paper bags. And it's black. I don't know whether it's asbestos or what it is. And should I be concerned about that? Should it be removed?
Thanks for calling, Ron. That type of insulation was known as craft paper bound insulation. Before we realized the merits of a vapor barrier, which we use today as 6-mil poly, and it's plastic, that paper, that bag that's surrounding that insulation was used to keep the vapor or the humidity from the home from migrating through that into that insulation, condensing and creating a fungal ecology. So typically they used a mineral wool insulation inside, and they surrounded it with craft paper, just like what we used to wrap our sandwiches with. So that type of insulation is fine if you leave it in place. There's no risk of aerosolizing an asbestos in that paper.
But is the fiber in the middle, is it asbestos in the middle?
No, what's in the middle is typically, you can test it, and I always recommend people do by taking a small sample of it, ripping it in, putting it in 2 sandwich bags and bringing it in. You can call our office. We'll do the analysis for you if you like. But typically that type of insulation was mineral wool. It will be black in color, and it will be round. The second type of insulation that was covered with craft paper will be beige, and it will be cellulosic in nature, ground up wool and paper. But not typically, I've never seen it as asbestos-containing, but it's always a good idea to test by taking a bulk sample analysis.
And I had another question about the stippled ceiling, since we had that done here in the 70s in 3 or 4 rooms. And your answer to that is, if it's not disturbed, it's safe enough.
It's completely safe when it's in place. The reason I caution people on removing stippled ceiling is it is friable once you scrape it off with that paint scraper. You have to follow certain regulations and certainly wear personal protective equipment to protect you, and HEPA vacuums to vacuum it up out of your environment afterwards. But if it's fine and looks fine, my recommendation is leave it in place because it's not contributing to poor air quality.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks very much, Ron.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Ron,
thanks
for calling. Love to hear from you, too, at 521-TALK, 521-8255. Out to Cornwall now, we say good afternoon to Lise. Hi, Lise.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. And how are you?
Fine, thanks. How can we help you this afternoon?
We have changed our heating system at home from baseboards to a central heating, okay, last year. And we had no air exchanger in the house, so we also bought an air exchanger. Now, on the air exchanger, there's a little piece of paper there, and it says that it works only if the outside humidity is lower than the inside humidity. Is that right?
No, so you have an HRV or an ERV that has been hooked up to the return air plenum on your forced air heating system, correct?
That's right, yes.
And this is a box that has four pipes to it, stale air from house, fresh air to house, and two pipes going outside.
Big pipes, yes.
Yes. So these pipes are exchanging air with Mother Nature. These are wonderful systems, by the way. But only if they're hooked up, and I typically see contractors, 1 in 10 hooks them up adequately. So you have to pay close attention. Fresh air in, equal air out to make sure the building is neutral. You're not depressurizing by blowing too much air out and not enough air in. Now, as far as your piece of paper telling you when to use it, it's a wonderful device to be used starting about now and all the way through until end of March, middle of April. This is the best time for this device to be used. And you use it with your fan in the on position.
That's what I wanted to know. The fan on the furnace, right?
Exactly, because if you see your system has been installed in a simplified install, that is to say, they steal air from the return air plenum, they exchange it, take the heat out of that air, push the stale air out, bring fresh air in, mix that fresh air with that air stream to warm it up, then they reintroduce it on the return air plenum before your filter. And the only way that system works is if the air, imagine a stream. The stream has to be going downstream. We'll steal the water upstream, exchange it, and give it downstream. But if you stop using your furnace, you short cycle. You suck upstream and blow downstream, and it's really not effectively being distributed throughout your house.
Okay, that's why. And then, you know, because outside where we live close to the water. And outside, it's always more humid than inside, even though inside is very humid. But outside, it's always more than inside all the time.
I'm glad you called, because this is an important item. Now, you can go to Home Depot and buy yourself a digital hygrometer. Hygrometer. That's temperature and relative humidity.
Yes.
Now, that device, you put one upstairs, one downstairs. Or Canadian Tire sells them for $29. And you take a good look at that device. Disregard what your machine is telling you. Use this independent device. Turn on your HRV when you need it. This is your dilution device. If you want fresh, dry air, this is your dilution device. If you have it on too frequently, during colder winter months, you will find that you're over-ventilating your house and your house becomes very, very dry.
So,
just follow your $29 devices. Turn it on and off as you see fit. Now, if you've ever developed condensation on your windows, that would mean you're not ventilating enough.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now,
have condensation on the window.
Okay, so in the cooler months, you would use your machine enough to just remove that condensation and not over-ventilate to give you dry skin. Now, does anybody in the home have allergies, pollen allergies?
No, not at all.
All right, so you can use that device until the warm weather and air conditioning comes in. Then it's better to turn it off because you're simply trying to dehumidify or air exchange Mother Nature in the summer, which you can do for free by opening a window.
Okay. Now, we also will be going away for a couple of months this winter, and we're going to turn the furnace real low. Should we leave that system on, or should we take it off?
I would not turn my HRV on when I'm traveling, but I caution you on removing your, lowering your temperature below 15. I believe you should call your insurance agent. I think their limit for reducing temperature is 18 degrees, but there's no need for whole house ventilation if you're leaving and lowering the temperature to 18 degrees.
All right, Lise. Great.
So do we leave the fan on the furnace?
Yes, you would always leave your fan in the on position because, and I'll take a quick moment to answer this question, Because when you're away and you've reduced your temperature to 18 degrees, there's pockets in your home that get cooler faster than your kitchen, living room, and dining room. And if you have a cooler basement area that happens to be a supply pipe for a kitchen, you don't want that basement on that January 20 below day to freeze. So keep your air moving at all times, and that'll keep the relative temperature differentials lower.
Okay, all right. No. That's great, Lee.
What did you call that thing? I have to go and buy it.
Digital hygrometer, or a temperature and relative humidity gauge. They're $39, $29 to $39.
Okay, Lise, we're going to have to run. We're right out of time
Thank
here.
You very much.
We appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Call. Thank you so much. And we'll get back to your call just as soon as we can, coming up after the break here on 580 CFRA's Experts on Call. The Indoor Air Quality Ottawa guy, the air quality guy, Sean Rankin, is here with us from IAQO. That's IAQO.ca, Indoor Air Quality Ottawa. We'll be right back.
580 CFRA's Experts on Call returns in a moment. Experts on Call continues on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
And our guest this hour is Sean Rankin of the Indoor Air Quality Ottawa, Air Quality Guy. That's what he was. What a great handle that is, Sean. And it's always a pleasure to chat with you. And if you've been trying to get in and you haven't had a chance to get your call on, you can still do it. We have a few minutes left. 521-TALK, 521-8255. And Sean, what is your office number for folks that maybe don't get a chance to call in today, but they do want to talk to you?
821-0035, 613-821-0035. Give me a ring and we'll solve your problem over the phone as much as we can. If not, we'll book an appointment.
All right. Now, you folks have a lot of things that are of need and certainly of interest, too. Residential services for one, commercial services for two. Maybe you could touch on some of those benefits.
Well, residential is keeps us busy. It's our meat and potatoes of the business. We mm-hmm. visit a lot of homes, two to three a day. Commercial project, we do maybe four or five of those a week. Somebody from occupational health and safety will give us a call. There's a problem with an odor in a certain part of the building, or some type of manufacturing procedure is bothering somebody in accounting or sales, and we'll come by, take a look at what you're doing, and maybe make recommendations on how to do it slightly differently, or maybe mm-hmm. adding ventilation devices or filtration devices that would reduce that issue.
All right. And your commercial services, basically, if you have a business, if you have a company or a building or a factory or something, and you need some advice and some consultation, give you folks a call.
We come out. It's a one-hour visit. We have an occupant survey with the person that has the problem in your conference room. Mm-hmm. Everything's above board. We have computer data logging devices that can sit on a desk and measure seven parameters of air quality for an entire week.
Wow.
We'll then trend that problem and see what, in fact, is creating the issue. And we may ask your mechanical contractor to meet us where we bump up your fresh air intake or increase, improve filtration. The sky's the limit. We've been doing it a long time, since before air quality testing was even cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we certainly have the means to solve all your air quality, both commercial and residential problems.
Terrific. Now, odors in the home, household odors, sometimes they're present in the summertime, they disappear in the winter. Why is that?
That is a very common question. Humidity will increase the amount of odor or off-gassing. So if you have a dry Arctic cooler basement, you may not have a fungal smell or an MVOC, that enzyme that's actively eating the sap, or we're actively eating that piece of carpet, skin cell. It goes to sleep in the winter when it's dry. However, when the summer moist air enters, mm-hmm. that reactivates that activity. So moisture content of construction assemblies is what precipitates a fungal ecology. And if you get over 14% moisture content in anything that's organic, you will develop an amplification. You will develop a zone of fungal growth.
Okay.
And that fungal growth, if it's moist enough, will create an enzyme called an MVOC. Mold is a saprobe. It eats dead things. So that enzyme starts to decompose that organic. Now, in January, when it's very cold, things dry out. And when they dry out, there's not enough moisture in that organic to precipitate the growth or the feeding process.
Mm.
The odor goes away. People will call me and say, oh, I don't have to see you this week. My odor disappeared. And I say, well, certainly, and
but
enjoy
wait
your
months.
New Year's, and I'll speak to you in July. And
That's right.
Sure enough, they'll call us in July when the odor comes back.
Now, what about, you know, some tips for a healthy home? I mean, you know, floor varnish has a smell to it. And maybe in the laundry room in the basement, sometimes the walls turn black. What is that?
Well, if you're planning a renovation with a product that does emit an odor, make sure it's you plan your renovation when you're going to be away from the home. When you're away from the home, then you put on your negative air devices or your air exchanging devices to quickly and to accelerate the curing time of that product you've just applied. Now, if you do happen to see staining on insulation in a laundry room, and the laundry rooms sometimes don't have drywall on them, this is typical of the organic or dust that's trapped in that insulation becoming cool and condensing with typically the laundry room humidity, because somebody has taken the time to close a supply air vent. Sometimes we think we're saving electricity and saving fuel if we close our basement registers in the wintertime. In fact, if you can imagine your minivan window fogging up when you have a lot of children coming back from hockey practice, and if your child throws a toque over top the defrost vent, immediately that window will create condensation. Well, if you turn your fan in the auto position on your furnace and you block your basement registers, it's just like blocking the register of your minivan, and that window will condense, and so will your wall assembly. And if you're creating condensation in a wall assembly, typically in a moist room, which is the laundry room, you will create enough moisture in that insulation that the dust, which is organic, not the insulation, will begin to discolor and grow mold.
If you have an air quality question and you want to talk to Sean in his office, that number again in your office, Sean, is
613-821-0035.
The air quality guy is Sean Rankin from IAQO.ca. Sean, thank you so much. A great hour.
It was a lot of fun, and thank you everybody for calling in. It was interesting for me.
News is next on News Talk 580 CFRA.